we were talking this morning, and I asked him if he had a good Thanksgiving, and he said he did, and he said he ate more than he should, like always. How many of you had a good Thanksgiving, all right? How many of you feel like you ate more than you should? Okay, good. That helps me to confirm this morning. I was going to preach Proverbs 23:2 and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite, and so that just helps me to know that it will be applicable to, no, just kidding. John chapter 1, good to see you this morning. John chapter 1, I hope you did have a good Thanksgiving time. Glad to see that prayers were answered and giving safety and travel. Some still traveling. Kevin and Stephanie heading back this afternoon, right? And others still traveling, I'm sure, in the days to come. I was blessed in last week's testimony service. The spirit of the service was sweet. The testimonies this year just were constant, really, and it was a precious time. None of us here want to take blessings for granted, though we're sure that probably we do. There's so many things that we have and that we're given that we've forgotten about, and we see them all the time. We don't even realize it. But I think I can think of a blessing this morning that we all have, and I'm quite confident that virtually every one of us took it for granted today. If we didn't have this particular blessing, our lives would literally come to a standstill. You might think, well, money, that's it. Yeah, if I didn't have money, I couldn't, you know, we couldn't just really move. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Well, our health, you know, that's so important. I'm not talking about health. This morning, the blessing that I want to consider in Scripture is the blessing of light. I want to go on record this morning that I thank God for the light. Look at John chapter number 1 and verse number 1. We'll begin there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We're so accustomed to having light in our lives. We don't question whether the greater light of the sun will rise in the morning. We don't fear that the sun might not rise. We habitually walk into rooms and flip switches to give us lights that we need. Many cars automatically sense the need for headlights while you're driving. Your gauges are backlit. Your computer and cell phones are backlit. Your television uses light. Your refrigerator uses light. We're constantly standing in need of light, and yet we think very little of it. The Scripture is full of allusions to light and the use of light as a representation of the mercy of God. Now, had there been no light here this morning, say the sun wouldn't shine or the power was out in here and there were no lights and there were, say, no lights, street lights and whatever it was, if there was no light, you wouldn't have come. You couldn't have come. But unfortunately, thousands, yea, millions of people are sitting in a building similar to this one this morning and fulfilling some sort of religious ritual or obligation, but they're sitting in the dark. And the so-called minister is doing nothing to give them light. In fact, he is in many cases insulating his people from the light and permitting them to leave as ignorant or as lost as when they came. Let's be honest this morning, though. Had not God shed light on your darkened soul and my darkened soul and drawn us to himself, we wouldn't have come. Why? Well, John says this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And it's not a new problem. John 5:35 tells us that John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light, and Jesus said, "Ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." But time came when public opinion changed, or at least when the king's opinion changed and had him beheaded. John 8:12, Jesus spake again of himself, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so I'm thankful that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness at creation, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, we have a God who wants to be known. He desires to reveal himself to his creation. He is a God, the Bible says, who is clothed in light, existing in glorious light. He gives light, and he is the light. He is a God who manifests himself and wants to be seen. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16 says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. Psalm 104 verse 2, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. But Psalm 139 and verse 11, the psalmist, when talking about the omnipresence of God and talking about the futility of trying to escape from God, says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And yet for those people who submit themselves to God's way, they accept that light, and they submit themselves to God. Psalm 112:4 says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. This then is the message that we have heard of him, that and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, the whole tenor of God's design, as you look in scriptures, you see that God is a God of light, is a God of revelation. But it's true that other religions also promise light. If one will escape the bondage of the body and reach oneness with the whatever, they offer their own form of light. So it helps for us to consider and clarify this morning, what is the light to which we refer? And how could we obtain that light? Well, in short, it's the light of the knowledge of God as found in Scripture. It's something knowable now, and as we gaze on it, Scripture says we are changed. Amazing. But let me first present a contrast for you before we divide the light. Let me present the contrast of darkness. An interesting study in Scripture, spiritual darkness is connected with hate. 1 John chapter 2 says, if you hate your brother, you're in the darkness. It's equated with fear. They are associated with fear. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Saying, listen, light and fear are separate. Hence, darkness is with fear. Darkness connected with fear. But darkness is also connected with judgment. I find it very interesting in the story of Egypt, when Israel was in Egypt and God finally sent Moses to deliver his people from Egypt. You remember Pharaoh was hard-hearted and wouldn't let them go. And so God began to exercise his power over Egypt and really over the deities of Egypt. And so he introduced some plagues that had pain, boils on the body. That would surely be a plague. He introduced a plague of intrusion, like the frogs. You know, they just kind of come and they're unwelcome and they're getting all over everything and they're in and they're just intruding on your life and they're just inconvenient and they're gross and whatever. And that was a plague. There was the plague of loss. When he sent the hail and it destroyed fields and killed cattle, boy, there was a significant financial and material loss. But I find it interesting that one of the plagues found in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 22 was simply darkness. There was something so awful and so debilitating about continued darkness that it alone, all by itself, was one of the plagues. It says, Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. 3 days, they saw not one another, but notice this phrase, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. The picture seems to be that somehow the darkness was so heavy, so intense, if you will, so black, that men literally didn't get out of their chair. They didn't get out of bed. They hardly did anything because it was so dark. And we're going to see it in the future again because Revelation 16 and verse number 10 tells us that in the series of judgments poured out upon the earth, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And this next phrase is interesting. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Now, maybe the pain was former judgments, but now they're left not just alone, but in the dark. The darkness was a form of, is associated with, judgment. Jude 13 and 2 Peter also tell us about darkness in which angels are chained or which false prophets will be consigned to, the blackness of darkness. It's associated with evil because Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the wickedness in high places, against the darkness of this world, right? Spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world with evil. It's associated with blindness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you're all the children of light and the children of the day. You're not of the night nor of darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. It's associated with the power of Satan. Acts 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. You see the connection there? Power of Satan, darkness, power of God, light. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us, that is Jesus hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Peter wrote to people in that day, saying that they were a chosen generation and a royal priesthood and a holy nation, but that they should show forth the praises of him who had called them out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I thank God this morning for the light. Now, there is one kind of darkness, and I put this at the end of the list, because I believe this is, if you will, the only kind of darkness that really affects a believer, can affect a believer. And that's the darkness of ignorance. That is, you don't always see or know what's going on. I believe you see that very vividly in the book and in the story of Job. Job had the pain of darkness. I think one of the most weighty things it seems to be to Job to not know what God is doing. I think he felt that he knew who God was, and yet he knew his own integrity, and so he defended himself against the charges of his friends that you're a sinner, you've obviously done wrong. No, I'm a righteous man, and yet I know that I'm suffering this darkness and this pain. He was having a hard time reconciling the two. Ephesians 5:13 tells us all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So sometimes we suffer that ignorance ourselves, whether choose by us or for us. Sometimes we do have an ignorance that we don't know what God is doing. But otherwise, the power of Satan and the blindness and And the evil of this dark world, that's not really the Christian's realm, because we're children of light. We're not of the darkness. But did you know that the light can be divided? You might remember science class when you held up a prism. If I were to hold a prism and had a ray of light shining into it this morning, it would scatter on the back wall here some beautiful various colors, because as that ray of light comes into the prism, it is actually divided into different spectrums, which then give different colors of light. Light can be divided. So this morning, I want to shine this concept of light through the prism of Scripture and admire three different facets with you. Three different facets of this light. You say, what light are you thankful for? What light are we talking about as Christians? Let me show you a few aspects of that. Number one, the light of His countenance. Psalm 89 and verse number 15 says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light Thy countenance." The Jewish blessing was this, Numbers 6:24 through 26, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Oh, to dwell in the light of the countenance of God, where He is pleased with you and He blesses you. The blessing of God is connected with the light of His face. Does God countenance you? Are you seeking the smile of God? Is that what makes you happy? Are you happy for the light? Or are you even really looking for it at all? Are you pleased to know that God's countenance looks favorably towards you? Or do you go through the day mindless that God is even watching or concerned? The light of His countenance. But let me move quickly then to the light of Christ. The light of Christ. Of course, this was mentioned earlier and in our text, that He is the light. They that follow Him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so it's no wonder then, and the Bible says it's no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Why would he do that? Because that's the way he mimics God. That's the way he deceives you, because if we're really looking for the true God, we're looking for light, we're looking for truth, we're looking for a God who manifests himself. So the light of his countenance, the light of Christ, but let me move on to the light of his word. The light of his word. You say, "I'm in a dark time. I don't know exactly what to do, and I want to know God more. Where do I go and what do I do?" Can I point you to the light of His word? Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." So when I don't know where to go, and I don't know what step to take, and I don't always understand what God is doing, for some direction I go where? To the word of God. Because it literally acts like a lamp to my feet. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." You say, "Man, we have a lot of ignorance in Christianity today." You know why? The light's being neglected. Because if the word doesn't enter, then it doesn't give light, does it? If we don't take to ourselves the word of God, how does it act as a light to our path? In fact, I heard just recently, and I won't be specific on the issue, but somebody relating a story how they had talked to another believer, and she said, "I felt like God convicted me not to do this." And the thing that she mentioned was something biblical. And I had to think, does God lead you not to do something He's told you to do in His word? Well, that doesn't seem right. Now, maybe there's some situation. Anyway, we have to be careful. God's led me to disobey His word. No, He hasn't. He's a God of light. Have you taken that light to yourself? Or are you going around and asking your friends or asking people that you think will agree with you? Or are you going and reading some magazine and listening to pop psychology and saying, "Yeah, I think God would have me to..." Have you taken in the light of God's word and gained some understanding and allowed it to shed some light on your path? The light of his word. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I find it interesting that God has in creation created plants thus that they can create food for themselves, as I understand it, by what is called photosynthesis. Remember that term, photosynthesis, that plants use to create food and keep themselves alive? That is, their survival is dependent upon light and their ability to use the light to give themselves what they need. What does Romans 10:17 say? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the light of the word. So as we hear the word of God and we can then properly apply it, we're given understanding of it, our faith grows. And we believe that God has preserved the light of his word to all generations. Though you know that there's been many attempts, all really the outworking of a plan of Satan to extinguish it. In the early New Testament there, when Christ was there with his small group of apostles, right? There mounted a pretty significant opposing force against him, so much so that they killed the Christ. What are they trying to do? Get rid of that light. Extinguish it. And what happened? Oh, boy. He rose from the dead. Woof! And then this church started, and throughout the ages, people have tried to extinguish either Christianity or the Word of God itself and burning it and suppressing it and outlawing it and killing people. And what's happened? They blow, and oh, that flame just grows and continues. We believe God has preserved the light of his Word through the generations. But let me draw you to one more light. I said three. Let me give you a fourth. Not just the light of his countenance and the light of Christ himself and the light of his word, but the light of the gospel. I'm thankful this morning for the light. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They've made a conscious choice not to believe and thus have been blinded by the God of this world. And let me tell you, I'm sure he's doing everything he can to keep that blindness, to keep the wool pulled over people's eyes, to keep them in the dark. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God's given the gospel. He's given good news. And it's shining. The Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And yet the God of this world blinds minds. He attempts to keep them in the dark so that they won't see that light. The glorious light. What light? The gospel. The light of the gospel. Rick Sessions gave a testimony last week talking about how all of us have grandparents or maybe great-grandparents who have immigrated from other countries, some of whom came from countries where there was a state religion or where God was not liked or where the truth was not free to be preached. And whether they came here for economic or spiritual reasons, we reap the benefit of being brought into a country and into a place where we did hear the gospel and it could be preached freely. So we can all stand in thanksgiving for the move that our grandparents or great-grandparents made to bring us to this place of freedom. Because there are state religions or there are circumstances or there are societies or countries or regimes or governments where the light of the gospel is not a welcome thing. There's the darkness of Islam that would take the light of the world in Jesus Christ and suppress him to make him a secondary prophet under the man Muhammad. What a shame, taking that light and pulling it down and offering and supposedly offering people true light. The darkness of Islam. You know that in the Masonic Lodge, in the very first initiation, as the person is brought into through this ritual by which he will become a member of the Masonic Lodge, he is, I believe he is asked at one point, "What do you seek?" And he is prompted to say, basically, "I am in darkness and I seek the light." What? For a Christian to kneel at the Masonic altar and to say, "I am in darkness and have need of the light"? What kind of a slap in the face to God is that when he's given the light of Jesus Christ and the light of his word, the light of the Holy Spirit and some understanding of Scripture for us to walk in as believers and then proclaim that I am in darkness and need the light of Masonic Lodge? Help us. The darkness that we are given by a system that at the very first juncture tells us to claim that we are in darkness and we need a new light. We need the Masonic light. "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Jeremiah 13:16, he proclaimed, "Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness." Decreasing light is used symbolically of aging, of walking further and further from our prime. We use this phrase, "His eyes grew dim." The decreasing light. And that's interesting because 2 Peter, if you'll turn there in 2 Peter, chapter number 1, just a tremendous passage, rich with these truths, talking about giving us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, talking about exceeding great and precious promises by which we are made partakers of the divine nature. But then in verse number 5, Peter says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge," verse 6, "and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We ought to be growing as believers. But notice now what he says in verse number 9, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." When I say his eyes grew dim as he strayed from the position of his prime. What is the light to which we refer and how do we obtain that light? It's the light of the knowledge of God as found in Scripture. It's his countenance. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's the written revelation that we call his word. It's the glorious gospel of Christ. It's something knowable now. And when we accept it and trust it, when we gaze on it, God transforms and changes us. Amen. There may be some here, however, that have never accepted the light. They've loved darkness and preferred not to have their sin manifested. I believe it was about the year 2000, I ushered an elderly lady and one or two of her family members to an exam room to perform some preliminary checks before my boss came in to examine her eyes. The family apparently came in concerned about the state of this lady's vision. I rolled up next to her, took my light, and flashed it in her eyes like I had done to many patients before. As I communicated with her, she indicated that she couldn't see the light. I believe I double-checked, and then without making a scene, I rolled back to the desk, and without adding any drama to a fear that the family already had, I typed three letters into the computer. NLP. These would be read by my boss prior to his entering the room, most likely, and would give him an indication of what he might expect. NLP, no light perception. In any situation, these letters were not good. but it seemed even worse in this particular situation. A lady who once had sight for some reason could no longer see. She had lost the ability to see light. The Bible says that God has revealed his eternal and power and Godhead in creation. Romans indicates that mankind shows the law of God written on their hearts. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, and then we know through his apostles as well. The words of God through these holy men of God have been preserved. God has given us light. And he says that the Holy Spirit is in the world to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. But he says something about the people of Noah's day, the civilization of Noah's day. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Neither do you and I, or I say I, no, neither do you, if you sit here this morning rejecting the light of God, neither do you have a guarantee of having the light forever. God has given you light. Are you closing your eyes so that you can't see? Jesus said, Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. They've closed their eyes. Have you closed your eyes to the light of God? You keep doing that. You keep rejecting it long enough, and there may come a day of no light perception for you. Now, believer, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness and unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Paul said, when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. So let me ask you in closing these questions. Are you walking as children of light? That is, men and women who have seen and embraced the light, permitting it to reveal the wickedness in their own lives and submitting to the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit? Are you putting on the armor of light? Or would you say that you're unequally yoked together with unbelievers, trying to mesh light and darkness? Are you walking consistent with God's revelation of himself? God has revealed and manifested his character to us. And what has he shown? He's shown us that he's holy and he's just and he's good and he's righteous. Are you reflecting that light? Because if so, you'll look something like holy and just and good and righteous. Are you reflecting that light? Are you shining blameless and harmless in this dark world? Or do you even realize we're living in a dark world? Are you enjoying the darkness of the world? Or are you rebuking the things of darkness? Are you giving thanks unto the Father for your inheritance? Are you keeping yourself from the unfruitful works of darkness? Are you reproving them? Hey, how do we stack up with the light? I'm so thankful this morning for light. God's given us the light of his countenance and the light of Christ and the light of the scriptures and the light of the gospel. We have so much to be thankful for, and we ought to be reflecting the light. How are you doing reflecting the light?